Glad to see you all again. We are less one child. I think last time we were here, we had our middle son who was preparing to enter his freshman year at St. Vincent College, and we dropped him off a week ago. So we got the champion of the house with us today. We got Micah, and my wife is here. Thank you again to Pastor Larry and to you, First Church, for allowing me to come and share with you. So now, having expended my nervous energy, would you get your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 6? Galatians chapter 6. You know I'm real unorthodox. I know this is the traditional worship experience, but just allow me to be unorthodox for a moment. When you get Galatians 6, just holler, "I got it." All right. I know that's real different. I know it's real different. Galatians 6. I'm going to verse number 7. It reads this way. "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Lord, thank you for your word. It is holy and we are dust, but you promised that the Holy Spirit would speak to us that which he has received of you. So, Lord, I pray that you would remember and honor your word. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. Open our understandings. Would you challenge us by this word today so that we might know and understand this law of reaping and sowing, sowing and reaping, so that we might spend the rest of our lives trying to please you with what we do, that men and women would come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Thank you for this word. Thank you for the fruit that will come in our lives because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. I don't have a title for this message today. You can call it whatever you want to call it. You can just call it sowing and reaping if you want to. Whatever you choose to call it, just remember it's from Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. First of all, as we approach the message today, I want us to understand the passage. This passage suggests that there has been a doctrinal deviation which has led to deception in the Galatian church. A doctrinal deviation that has led to deception in the Galatian church. By the words, very simply, do not be deceived. The Galatian church is a church in which Paul himself personally ministered. He had a hand in their spiritual birth, in their establishment, and in their development. This was a very special church to the Apostle Paul, and he had a great concern for them. There were, however, at this church, Jewish leaders that came in after Paul's departure who began to spread false teaching throughout the congregation in this Galatian church. The people of this young congregation were turning from faith back to legalism, which I find amazingly similar with many people that I encounter today. There are many people who that I've come in contact with, especially in recent days. I've come in contact with many people who are telling me, "Reverend, I think I'm going to leave the church." I mean, you know, and we have this conversation, and I say to them, "Okay, what are your plans? You're talking about leaving the church." And they say to me, "No, I'm going to leave the faith." This is what was happening at this Galatian church. There were people who were turning back to their old lives after they had come into relationship with Jesus Christ. I need us to understand that we live in these kinds of times today in which people are turning from faith in Jesus. And it is important for us as believers to have a firm stance in what we believe about the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you if you are familiar with anything that is going on in this age, anything in these times in which we live, you know that Facebook is a very popular medium. It's a very popular social media tool. And I have found in my Facebook feed, I found many people who have celebrated something that they heard. You may recognize this name, the minister Louis Farrakhan. I've seen people reposting parts of a speech that he made in which he invoked the name of Jesus. And because he simply said the name Jesus, people were excited that he had given his life over to Jesus. Well, here's the facts regarding Jesus. If you do not believe that he was born of the Virgin Mary, conceived of the Holy Ghost, that he was crucified, that he died, that he was buried, he stayed in the grave Friday, Saturday, and got up early Sunday morning with all power in his hands. If you don't have that testimony about his life and death, you don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible. And I raise that because we live in an age where people try to tell us that you can believe anything you want and still spend an eternity with God in heaven. God of the Bible did not set it up like that. So we need to understand that there was some heresy that had happened in this Galatian church, and Paul, the apostle who helped establish it, is now trying to revisit them, to bring them back in line with the truth of what God's word really says. We have to remember, we must remember that we cannot allow ourselves to become discouraged. We cannot allow ourselves to become disheartened. We cannot allow ourselves to become downcast when there are people that come in our midst, in our vicinity, that want to, you know, that want to try to spread, even as these Judaizers did, that want to spread something that will cause division within the church. We must stand firm on what the Bible says. I want to encourage each of us today to stay the course despite the challenges, despite the struggles, despite tests and trials. We need to hang in until our due season comes. When our season comes, we can shout victoriously. We have to understand the passage first. Then, after we understand the passage, then we've got to unveil the principle. We've got to unveil the principle. Now, the principle that's given here at verse number 7 is an eternal, immutable, divine principle. It is an eternal, that doesn't mean immutable. It means it doesn't change. It is an eternal, immutable, divine principle. And the principle is this: a man reaps what he sows. What's the principle? A man reaps what he sows. One more time. What is the principle? A man reaps what he sows. Now you're Baptist preachers, all of y'all, you just got your license. A man reaps what he sows. Principle is defined as a basic truth, law, or assumption, a rule or standard, moral or ethical standard, judgments as a whole, a fixed or predetermined policy of mode or action, essential quality or element determining intrinsic nature or characteristic behavior, a rule or law concerning the operation of natural phenomena or mechanical processes. What the Apostle Paul does here with verse 7 is establish a basic truth. Excuse me. He establishes the basic truth. He reiterates a predetermined policy. He highlights a mode of action. He gives emphasis and draws attention to the essential quality and the intrinsic nature of the rule concerning natural phenomena that we know as planting and harvesting, or sowing and reaping. And this is what he says. You get back from the ground only what you have planted in the ground. Did you get that? I know we're not really, we're more a technological society than we are an agrarian society. But here in this region, there are some farmers. And every farmer understands that what you plant is what you harvest. One more time. What you plant is what you harvest. One more time, because there's some children in here that need to understand that what you plant is what you harvest. Here's a principle about sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow. I learned this from Charles Stanley. You reap what you sow. You reap where you sow. You reap later than you sow, and you reap more than you sow. Did you get that? You reap what you sow. You reap where you sow. You reap later than you sow, and you reap more than you sow. One apple seed can produce an apple orchard. I wish I had time to really deal with it. But you cannot change this principle. Paul says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. In other words, you cannot fool God. There is no way for you to try to plant something, watch this, outside of God's purview. The rule, the law, the principle is you reap what you sow. You will harvest what you plant. Now, just consider this. Just ask yourself, what is it that I'm planting? If you plant bitterness, then you reap bitterness. If you plant jealousy, then you reap jealousy. If you plant lies, then you reap lies told. If you plant discouragement, you reap discouragement. If you plant division, you reap division. If you plant immoral thoughts, you reap immoral thoughts. If you plant love, you reap love. If you plant happiness, you reap happiness. You reap what you sow. This principle applies whether you're talking fruit or friendship, whether you're talking radishes or relationships, whether you're talking natural or spiritual. The basic, simple, plain truth of the matter is that you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Now, for those of us who are trying to navigate through the waters of spiritual life with this principle in mind, we need to unpack the problem. We understand the passage. We've unveiled the principle. Now we must unpack the problem. Verse 8 says, the one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit will reap eternal life. That's verse 8 of Galatians chapter 6. The natural principle that can be applied. This is a natural principle that can be applied to things pertaining to spiritual life. If you sow to the flesh, if you sow to the Spirit. So my question is, because the text says if you sow to the flesh, my question is, what does it mean to sow to the flesh? I think that's a pretty good question. How about you? What does it mean to sow to the flesh? Well, the problem with this is many of us are reaping harvest today that we planted many years ago. Oh, boy. Because remember, the principle says you reap what you sow, you reap where you sow, you reap later than you sow, and you reap more than you sow. And so I don't know about you, but I'll just talk about my own experience. I am finding now at 50. that I am reaping the harvest of seeds that I planted when I was 25 and 30. Amen. You don't have to agree, because I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. Are you with me here? But the truth is that for many of us, we experience in our lives today the result of decisions that we made years ago. Whether that's a good thing, whether that's a bad thing, whether that's a positive thing, whether that is a negative thing, whether that is a fruitful thing, or whether it is a fruitless thing, many of us are experiencing life today based on what we did some years ago. Sowing to the flesh means that I seek to satisfy my own personal desires without regard for the needs of others and without regard for the commands of God. Let me say it again. Sowing to the flesh means that I seek to satisfy my own personal desires without regard for the need of others or without regard for the commands of God. In other words, I seek to do my own thing despite what God's word says about my life. And I say it this way because you're sitting in church. And those of you who are sitting here, this is probably not your first time here. And so you probably heard somebody preaching before, probably not like this, but you probably heard somebody preaching before. And you've probably heard, no doubt, the word of God at some point in your life. And at some point in your life, you heard the instruction of God, but chose to do it your way anyway. Yeah. Job says, as I have observed, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it. Wow. That really sounds like the climate of our culture today. Feel good about yourself. Get all the money that you deserve today. That's why the lottery gets so, you know, it get all them millions of dollars in there. Why y'all looking at me like that? Because people, you know, they want to satisfy themselves and they want to do it quickly. Have the things that you always wanted to have. Advertisers try to hook us with enticing words, but they never reveal to us that behind their enticements are contracts determined to enslave us in financial bondage and physical frustration and material mayhem. Sowing to the flesh is like planting weeds in a garden. Any gardeners here? Any gardeners? All right. Every gardener will know that at the first sight of a dandelion, you got to go to work today. Because one dandelion can turn a green lawn into a sea of yellow flowers. And every gardener in here said amen. Every man in here that takes care of your lawn, you know what I'm talking about. That's how it is when you sow to the flesh. When you sow to your flesh, it is like leaving a dandelion in your lawn. It may look beautiful at first, but when it takes over, all it does is causes hay fever. That's what happens when you sow to your flesh. So if I want to avoid sowing to my flesh, then what should I do? You should sow to your spirit. So I guess the next question then becomes, how do I sow to my spirit? What does that look like? Well, it means that I become preoccupied with the things of God rather than the things of this world. That means that I make his priority my priority. That means I prioritize the things of God first, and then my stuff comes second. Amen. Somebody, this is a Baptist church. Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you, Micah. It just means that I give priority to the things of God. And I want to tell you, I want to tell us, I want to tell me that the reason I'm having difficulty at 50 is because I didn't make God a priority when I was 25. Oh, boy. And I'm challenging each of us. I know tomorrow is Labor Day, but I'm challenging each of us that when we leave this place, that if you've not made God and His life your priority, I'm challenging you that when you leave here, that you begin to do that. The Bible says in Psalm 1, blessed is the man. That word blessed means happy. Happy is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates. There's a priority, day and night. And the result, subsequently, he is like a tree that is planted by water that brings forth its fruit in its season. His leaf does not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. That is the result of sowing to the Spirit. We've understood the passage. We've unpacked the problem. We must then unblock our potential. Verse 9 says, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, or King James says in due season, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We have to unblock our potential. Let us not become weary in doing good. First of all, let's understand what is this experience. Let us not become weary in doing good. Unblocking our potential requires us to really see what the writer is saying here. Our level of weariness or fatigue can disrupt, interrupt, suspend, upset, disturb, and cause a blockage in our potential harvest. You know, sometimes when the arteries of the heart get blocked and the blood is not flowing to the heart properly, you have to go to a heart specialist so that he might perform a procedure that is called an angioplasty. And the way that I understand the angioplasty to be is that they take a balloon and they insert a balloon into the blocked artery. And they blow up the balloon so that it unclogs and clears the path of the artery so that the blood can flow freely. I want to suggest to some of us that sometimes spiritually, you know, when you're doing good, you feel as though you're the only one that's doing good, that nobody else around you is serving, nobody else around you is working as much as you or as hard as you or as seriously as you, after years of that kind of toil and that kind of turmoil, our spiritual arteries can clog up and we can become unproductive or even worse, counterproductive for the Lord. My goodness. It is at those times that we need to check into Grace and Mercy General and have an appointment with the heart specialist. And he will prescribe for us the right remedy for our spiritual fatigue. He might give you a dose of Psalm 27:14, which says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen thine heart. He may give you a dose of Isaiah 40:31 that says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Sometimes he'll have to put us on the operating table and perform surgery. David said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me completely from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. He may even give you a New Testament dosage that says, finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, Whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Don't become weary in due season. Why? Because there is a due season at the right time, in due season. That's the experience, but in due season is the expectation. Every believer ought to live their life with expectation. The joy of the work is the expectation of the harvest. Man, I wish you could get this. I said the joy of the work is the expectation of the harvest. Wait a minute, you don't really understand. I said the joy of the work is the expectation of the harvest. I thought about this as I was driving up 219 to take my son to college. I thought about this, that the joy of the work is in the expectation of the harvest. It took us years of training to get him prepared to leave our house. He turned 18 in March, but he was still living at home and he was still in high school. We still had our hands on him. We could not yet release him. But the joy of expectation comes in the joy of the work that we put in. I thought that when he left, I dropped him off, I was going to be sad and crying and miserable. And I thought that I was really going to miss my son. But I thought about the fact that we taught him the word of God. I thought about the fact that we taught him good respect and good manners. I thought about the fact that we prepared him for life outside of our house. And I'm expecting, I'm waiting on, I am anticipating the day when we drive up to 219 and he receives that diploma in mechanical engineering. Are you with me here? I am waiting with expectation, and I'm saying to us that the joy of our work comes in the hope of our expectation. And I don't know about you, but I am expecting the Lord, hallelujah, to return any day. Man, I got to quit because my time is almost up, but I feel pretty good right here. I am expecting that Jesus will return one day soon. And the thing that drives my expectation, the thing that makes me appreciate my time here now, is because I know that one day the trumpet will sound. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Hallelujah. And I don't know what my condition is going to be. I don't know what situation I'm going to be in. I don't know if I'm going to be in the grave. I don't know if I'm going to be sitting at my desk at work. I don't know if I'm going to be on a boat fishing out on the bay. But I do know that my great hope is that when he comes back, that he shall take me with him. The expectation, my due season, comes. This text says, excuse me, that in due season we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Every seed that God made has life producing potential. Every seed that God made has written into its genetic code life producing energy. When the farmer does his part, then the seed can do its part. Above the ground, the farmer can only dig, plant, and water, but his work is no good without the work of the seed. The seed then must take from the nutrients in the earth by extending out of itself roots that will extend to places where it can best be nurtured. As the roots are being fed, the life-giving nutrients from the ground, the seed begins to push upward as its roots drive deeper to support what is about to take place. A small shoot pushes through the dirt where only a small seed once was planted. The farmer takes care of the seed as it grows and develops. Eventually, the seedling takes its shape, and it grows tall and wide, and leaves form. Season after season, it goes until one spring, the branches begin to bud. In the summer, the buds blossom, and a small object seems to be hanging off the branch and leaves. And then in the late summer and fall comes, the hanging object turns a bright, shiny red. And where there once was a bud and leaves from a tree that grew from the seed, there is now an apple. We have to learn how to hang in there during the unseen growth processes. Do not give up on God too soon, because the text says, in due season. The question now is, what happens in due season? Well, to find out, you've got to unlock the promise of this text. The promise is that we shall reap if we do not lose heart. In other words, there will be a payoff for the effort that you've put in. The harvest will come, but you cannot give up. We must continue to lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily besets us and run with patience the race that is set before us. We must continue to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We must continue to work while it is day, for the night will come when no man can work. And who is our example? Our example is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he endured the cross, despising its shame, and he's now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. My brothers and my sisters, do not grow weary while doing good, for in due season, at the right time, you'll reap a harvest. If you don't give up. God, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the fruit that will come in our lives because of your word. Help us to be men and women of perseverance who would stay the course despite the storms, despite the challenges, that we would stay the course and complete the work that you've given to us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the fruit that should come in our lives because of it, in Jesus' name. Amen.